Okay, so we'll talk about Parshas Truma very quickly. Okay, the Atzei Shittim. They had wood, they had what, Atzei Shittim? Shittim wood, which they used to build the Mishkan. These were these big trees, which they used to make the walls of the Mishkan. How they have Atzei Shittim? In the why they have? So Rashi says Yaakov. Yaakov in the Sefer Baruch HaKodesh, Shasid in Yisrael Livnos Mishkan Bemidbar, Hevi Arazim, Limitzrayim, Limitam. Yaakov brought them. It's amazing. And this is an amazing thing. This is the continuum of Jewish history. Yaakov knew this was going to be happening. Yaakov knew what B'nai Israel was going to be happening, down to Mitzrayim and out of Mitzrayim. And Yaakov planned it, and he took the trees to Mitzrayim to plant them there. You got it? This is a very big idea. The big idea is B'nai Israel is leaving Mitzrayim, and when they leave Mitzrayim, they feel completely connected to the Avos. This is Jewish life. You always, in Yahadus, we always feel connected to the past. That's the essence of Yahadus, looking backwards, back to the Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So the Mishkan is linked back to Yaakov. You got it? It's a very exciting Rashi in Pasuk. Hey, then there's a world-famous Pasuk, which you have to know. This Pasuk became one of the central themes of Rav Hirsch's writings, and it is the Pasuk for us. V'yasu li mikdash, make a base of mikdash, v'shachanti, and I will dwell be. What should the next word be? I will dwell in it. Be socho. It should say socho. Is that what it says?
No,
it says socham, in them. This is the pasuk. The Torah is teaching us that the purpose of the Mishkan is not that Hashem dwells in it. It's that Hashem dwells in us. This is the key pasuk. The Mishkan is Hashem's home. That's where the Shekhinah rests most strongly. But the purpose of the Mishkan is to be a source of inspiration that your own regular house is on a higher level. Is that clear? So the pasuk says, Mr. Kaslover, bisocham, not bisocho. Through the Shekhinah in the Beis HaMikdash, your house is higher. For example, it's the winter. You have a long Friday night evening in front of you after the Suda. What's the first thing you do Friday night after the Suda?
Learn for at least an hour.
You learn a little bit, and then you do everything else. You learn a little bit. You get used to that. We went to the Ona too, but first we learned a little bit. Then went to the Ona. You get into that habit. That's having the Shekhinah in your house. So it depends. It depends. That's a good question. That's a good question. I'm happy. That's the right question to ask. I live near a shul. I went to learn in the shul. To learn in your house is amazing. To learn with your kids in your house is amazing. To get that habit going, that in your house, after the Friday night meal, in the summer it's late. It's normally, you might just go right to sleep maybe. But in the winter, you learn a little. You learn a little. And then you do whatever else you do. My neighbor takes walks with his kids Friday night. Beautiful. They take walks Friday night. Either the whole family takes a walk sometimes, or the kids separately. Beautiful. You learn a few minutes first, and then you do that. It's very healthy. That's the Shekhinah. That's the Shekhinah in your house. You're at the Shabbos table, and a topic comes up that might lead to Lashon Hara. It happened once yesterday. So you're the father. You say, no, we're not going to talk about that now. You with me? That's the Shekhinah in your house. What do you have Lashon Hara at the Shabbos table for? Who decides? You're going to decide. You're the father. You and your wife, you're going to decide. That's this pasuk. It's very important. It's not about the Shekhinah in the Beis HaMikdash only. It's about the Shekhinah in your house. It's a very big deal. Your own lives. So what's the pshat of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Beis HaMikdash is a source of inspiration. You learn in yeshiva, you go to shul, you hear a good drasha, then you bring it home with you, and your house is a different level. That's the name of the game. Is that clear? I didn't say learn 5 hours. We discussed last night to have your kids play Jungle Speed Friday night, or Perpetual Commotion, or these other games that are code names. Code names with the young neighbors. Code names with the young neighbors, who they want.
We've been the young neighbors.
My neighbor came over, and they played, he beat him in code names. So that's fine. For me, that's fine. But first, you learn a little. You got it? In the winter, Friday nights. It's a long Friday night. That's v'shachanti b'solchem. Very important. Let us continue.
I said one in a second.
Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Aron was made of what? What was the Aron made of? What was the Aron made of? The Aron was made of gold and wood. Here's the deal. Look, it was a wooden Aron. It was covered inside and outside with gold. How did they cover it inside and outside with gold? There was an outside box of gold. They put the wood inside, and they put an inside mini box inside the gold with a little rim on top, so the wood was covered. And on top was the kaporis. Okay? So I'm going to share with you now Rav Hirsch's approach. What?
What's the deeper meaning behind that?
Ooh, good question.
I wanted to ask you so you could get it.
Very good. Very good, Dovi. Dovi asked. Okay, good. Here we go. Now this is it. So what's the pshat? So we're going to talk about Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch's pshat in the Aron. It's made of gold and wood, and then there's the kaporis that covers it. This is interesting. And the kruvim covered the kaporis. The kruvim, the wings cover the kaporis. So the kaporis covers the Aron. What's inside the Aron? The Torah. And the kruvim cover the kaporis. So what's the message?
So it's like a
handle. So Rav Hirsch says as follows. Okay, the luchos are made of stone. Stone doesn't change. It just sort of sits there. The Aron is gold. Gold symbolizes perfection. And wood is, and it's also wood. Wood symbolizes, what does wood symbolize? This is a good one. Growth. Trees grow. Life grows. Here's what he says. The Aron guards the Torah. So we, Am Yisrael, we have to guard the Torah. So if we guard the never-changing stone, perfect, gold Torah, then we will grow and develop like a tree.
Oh.
That's a home run. That's better. That's better than 4 goals in the semifinals of the hockey tournament, which is good, which is very good.
But this is better
than that, Mr. Fuchs, MVP from last night, Mr. Ari Fuchs, very good. But this is better than that. This is better than that. Again, this is better. This is on YU Torah now, Mr. Fuchs. Now listen carefully. Listen. If Bnei Yisrael guards the never-changing stone, perfect gold Torah, will grow like a tree. That's a home run. Then he says as follows, you have to get this. The halacha was that this was one piece. The kaporis covered the Aron, and you had the kruvim, which were cut out of the one piece of gold. It's like, it wasn't that they took the kruvim and got to them, it's one piece. So the kaporis protects the Torah, and then the kaporis out of itself protects itself. Rav Hirsch says, we are the kaporis. This is amazing.
The lid?
We are the lid. We guard the Torah. So if Am Yisrael guards the Torah, then we protect ourselves. Because Hashem promises, when you keep the Torah, I'm going to watch over you. This is amazing. So who's in control of whether Am Yisrael is successful? We are. If we protect the Torah, we're the kaporis. We protect the Torah. The kaporis, in a sense, protects itself. Out of the kaporis, the wings cover the kaporis itself. Meaning that if we guard the Torah, then Hashem, with Sa'at HaDeshmaya, Hashem promises we will be protected. So this is the idea behind the kaporis, that is Rav Hirsch. Another idea. The Aron had badim, poles. The Shulchan had poles, other things had poles. But by the Aron it says, Lo yasuru mimenu. The poles could never be removed. It was a lav to remove the poles. Because the other kalim, you put them down, take the poles out, you put them into carry. The Aron, the poles are never removed. Why is that? That's a question. There are a lot of pshat. Rav Hirsch says the pshat is to symbolize that the Torah is always ready to move. That the same Torah can be transported anywhere. Rav Hirsch fought the Reform. The Reform said, hey, we live in a modern world. You can't keep the Torah anymore in the same way. You have to change the Torah to fit the modern world. Rav Hirsch says, no. You have to adjust your life to fit the old-fashioned, perfect Torah. So the message is of the Zavadim is, this Torah is always ready to be transported wherever you go. Wherever you go in history, wherever you go in Galus, the Torah is ready to move, because this Torah can fit anywhere. If the Torah doesn't fit with your life, you've got to make an adjustment in your life. It's a beautiful idea. This is maybe the challenge of life nowadays, that we live our lives and we have the Torah. And there's something, they're not exactly fitting. So what do you do? Well, I'm going to adjust the Torah to fit my life, God forbid. Or I'm going to say, wait a second, I've got to work on my life to fit with a perfect Torah. That is the challenge of life. What are we changing for what? So our verse says, you don't change the Torah. The Torah is always ready to be transported. Wherever it is, this Aron with the Torah is ready to move. Because wherever you go in life, you end up in Cleveland, the perfect Torah is ready to be used out there in Cleveland. And that's the message of, that's the message of the Batim. Okay. We'll do one more thing, and then we're going to stop. It's not the Shem. Okay. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the Mishkan. How did it work exactly? Anyone know how it worked exactly? Yeah. Rashi says.
In between the Kerubim, and then you heard it from outside.
Beautiful. That's Rashi. That's Rashi in Perikuf Gimel. The end of Perikuf Gimel. It's like this. This is important. The Ramban writes that the Mishkan was supposed to be a Hemsheikh of Maimon Har Sinai, a continuation of Maimon Har Sinai. If you want to learn an important Ramban, the first Ramban in Truma, you have to learn the Ramban in Truma. Hashem wanted that the Shechina from Har Sinai would be with us in a more hidden way in the Mishkan. So the Mishkan was like Har Sinai. Hashem gave Moshe new Torah in the Mishkan. How did he give it to him? So this is what he said. The holiest place in the Mishkan was the spot. The holiest place in the Mishkan was this spot. Here, this spot. Right between the Kruvim on top of the Aron, that was the holiest place.
That spot.
No. So Hashem's voice, Kaviyachol, came down to that spot, and from that spot, it went out into the Mishkan. Moshe stood in the Mishkan, and the voice that from that spot projected out, and he heard the voice in the Mishkan.
Well, they touched
that, touching. Yeah, that's a spot. That's a spot. That's Hashem can go to that spot. So that's how Hashem spoke to Moshe, that the Mishkan was Hemshech Maimon HaSinai. It says, Hakol Mita Ber Me'al Kapores. Moshe Haya Nichnas LeMishkan. He came to the Mishkan. Kevin Sheba B'Sol Chapeh. He came into the entrance. Kol Yored Min HaShemayim. The coal came down between the Kruvim. Then it came out to Moshe in the Almoid. So the main point to remember is the Mishkan was considered a Hemsheikh of Maimon Har Sinai. That's a big topic. That Hashem, we had the Shechina on Har Sinai. Hashem wants us to have it in our own lives, in our own daily lives as well, in the Mishkan, in the Midbar. You got it? Okay. Now,